9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Oh, good afternoon, out and abouters. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and or 92.3 FM. Also streaming from KYRS.org. And I hope you're having a great day out there, staying cool and not getting too smoky. And hopefully you're in a safe place where you're not affected by any of the fires around here. But I know there's a lot of them going on. And today I'm so excited. I get to talk to Adam Bode, who I've not seen in, I think, since March. How are you doing, Adam?
I'm doing good.
Yeah? Yeah? How are things going in the world of art?
Pretty good. I have a meet and greet coming up here on July 25th, 1 to 5 at the Artisans Guild. Which is inside Northtown Mall.
Nice and air-conditioned in there.
Yeah.
You just handed me some lovely artwork, and I guess, you know, it's always tricky to talk about paintings and things on the radio.
Right.
But we will paint with pictures, or with words, rather. Your paintings are they're abstract, and usually they're acrylic, right? And you kind of do some...
A little mixed media.
Mixed media, yeah.
I do a little bit of graffiti and different things like that.
Yeah. How did you get started doing that, going down that road?
Well, when I first started painting, it was like 2015 or something like that. And I just started painting in my parents' basement.
Yeah.
So my room was like full of paint. And
were they pretty happy about that? Like, oh, no. Adam has a nice hobby now. It's really cool.
No. But that's how I got started. Was I would paint in my room, like throw paint, do abstract.
Yeah. Oh, every parent would love that. Yeah. I don't know what the problem would be.
Yeah, so that's how I got started. Then I started doing professional shows in 2018. Have done quite a few shows with Spokane Arts and different things. TDOR, I was here for that. And then...
you had the Chase Gallery show?
Chase Gallery show, yeah.
Last time we talked?
I'm pretty well-known, I guess, in town for the art.
So. I think so. And you're self-taught, right? I mean, so did you just sort of like do what felt good, or did you watch some videos like, oh, I want to kind of like look like this person, not quite, but I want to see how they do what they do, or how did you teach yourself?
Well, so funny story, actually. I was here at the library once back in 2014, and I checked out the movie Pollock. And that gave me like a whole new outlet, because I was like, oh, I want to create art like that, you know? Yeah. And so I was like inspired to start painting. And then from there,
And I would say, you know, I could see that in your work being influenced by Pollock for sure.
Right.
But I could also see why your parents were a little bit maybe worried or concerned about the paint dropping and things like that. Yeah. When you say mixed media,
like acrylic with graffiti, and sometimes I work with spray paint, so it's like...
Do you ever do any collage work at all, or...?
Sometimes.
Yeah?
I did one of these paintings that I collaged a dragon and then, like, painted around it. It was kind of cool.
If I remember right, you are really big on selling prints of your work, right?
Right.
And kind of keeping the babies at home with you.
Right.
Yeah. I know the feeling. They're kind of hard to part with, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. How did things go at the meet and greet back in March? Was that pretty good?
It went pretty good. I made new, like, things to hand out to people. Like, I have these trading cards that I'm going to be handing out to people for free, and the Smart. Stickers and stuff.
People love the swag.
Yeah.
I love the swag you gave me.
Yeah, and there's also going to be a raffle for 3 different gift baskets.
Nice.
Tickets are $1 each for the baskets, and then... Yeah.
Well, you know, you have to, as a working artist, you have to wear more than...
It's many
hats, right? And so, when are you really conscious? Now, let's back up a little bit. You are a trans male, right. And you also are on the spectrum for autism, right?
Yes.
So, do you feel that, and that'll come back to my question that I was originally going to ask, but do you feel that that kind of has influenced your work quite a bit?
Yes, I believe so, because my work in general, like, it's like how I process my emotions, mm-hmm. and like I throw it into the paintings.
Right.
So it's like that's just how my brain works, like processing everything.
Yeah. And then we'll go back to what I was going to ask originally. So when you put on these hats, so, you know, okay, I've got these paintings, I've got these prints. Now I need to figure out how to make some money off of them.
Right.
Do you, are you pretty conscious about that? Like, okay, now I'm in promoting mode.
Right. Yeah. Well, I pretty much like I wear all the hats. So it just like when one thing is done, I move to the next thing and mm-hmm. I was on a podcast, for a while too, so, you know, like I just kind of do a lot of different things.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that podcast later on. Of course, being an artist would be number one, but what do you find most challenging, like the promoting part of it, or like the bookkeeping part of it?
Honestly, I think it's just like the media appearances and stuff that are the hardest for me.
So right now.
Yeah.
Right now, this is hard.
Yeah, but I mean, it's once you get used to like the people you're around doing the things, and, you know, it gets easier.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I mean, but you're pretty... I admire your intentionality on doing these things. And how did you get into a gallery at Northtown? Was that a process to do that?
Well, I applied to show my work there, and then I had a talk with the owner, and we just, like, she wanted my work there, so now I... arranged a meet and greet. So it's like,
yeah, and you've been there for a while, huh?
Yeah,
it's been, and that's been really good. And
yeah, and I also actually, like, another form of art that I do is I've been making my art into T-shirts. So now I'm taking pre-orders for T-shirts.
So do you print them yourself then?
I do like the drop shipping thing where, like, you order them.
Okay, it's not like Threadless or anything like that.
No, it's just like I make like art on Canva and then I put it on.
Gotcha.
On shirts and stuff, and then other merch too. Like, I've been thinking about other merch that I could do, like hats and mm-hmm. stuff with art on it.
Yeah, that's a great way for people to show off your art. And
yeah,
I would imagine the shirt you're wearing right now is one of your babies. Yeah, that's good. I do the same thing. I walk around, all my T-shirts are nothing but my paintings usually.
Right.
So I get it, because you know why? I like what I make.
Right.
You know? So I'm sure you're the same way.
Exactly.
So this meet and greet will be this Saturday. And what are the hours for that?
1 to 5 at the Artisans Guild at Northtown Mall.
Now, I hadn't been to the mall in years.
Right.
Well, maybe it's been a couple years, but I went there. My grandson is really into skateboarding, so... It was his birthday, so we took him there to get a birthday present for him at the skateboard place.
Cool.
But I walked into a pillar. I was looking at this plate. I was looking at this. It said mouth candy, was a store there called Mouth Candy. And I was like, "What? That doesn't make sense to me. Like, candy for your mouth. I mean, that should be what candy is, right? I mean, I mean, if you said like feet candy, I'd be shoes, you know. But so I'm like, what would mouth candy be? And so I'm looking to my right, and I notice that it's grills, you know, grills for your teeth.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And they, and, but I was so distracted, I walked into a pole. And it just, it was a resounding boing noise. And then my glasses got, my glasses got all screwed up and fell on the ground. And I just kept walking and things started to kind of dim out a little bit. And then people were coming out, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Oh, I should just watch where I'm going, I think." But I get a black eye, you know, the next day. And it was just, anyway. So, but that's North. But Northtown, it's an interesting, I find myself kind of inspired when I go there.
Right.
You know, just because there's so much history as a kid being there and walking through there and what it's become, and as a firefighter going on the calls there and stuff.
And just malls in general kind of give you like a nostalgia like feeling.
Kind of like a wistful, almost mournful, you know, sort of like, oh man, you know, the places where people have had fun. I always feel like that fun kind of lingers on, you know, like in a place like, you know, I guess in Scooby-Doo, that's why the amusement parks were always haunted, you know. So, but, so what kind of what kind of painting are you working on right now?
Actually, right now I'm currently focusing on the t-shirts and like the art that I make on Canva and stuff. So like I have my paintings that I have displayed different places, but currently I'm just working on designs for printed products and t-shirts, hats, journals. I have some of those down at the art designs.
The covers of the journals?
Yeah, the covers of the journals. And I just make them printed and then bring them down to Artisans. That's where I sell them. So
Are you taking like some of your old artwork and adapting it for t-shirts, or is it all new?
Okay. Yeah. I have also some photography. Like I have little postcards that say Spokane on them with like pictures of Spokane.
Oh, cool.
And so that's another thing that I'm going to have at the meet and greet.
Do you have to like, when you have these, works that you've done before and you adapt them, for the t-shirts, is there things that you have to do, like do different things, boost different colors and stuff like that, or are you just...
Yeah, I'm, like, with the journals for specific, like, I got a purple journal because the art is purple. So
yeah,
like,
right?
Yeah. So, yeah, so, like, I kind of match everything together so that it looks like a finished product.
Yeah.
And it's really quality stuff.
That's good. That's cool. Yeah. And then that'll be up on your website pretty soon?
Well, right now, my website is down, so...
I know. I tried to go to it and I saw that,
Yeah, and so right now I'm just selling out of Artisans, which is fine. Okay. You know, so
yeah,
like,
plenty of foot traffic. And I tried to listen to your podcast, but I couldn't find the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Charles, well, Charles took it down, so it's like... Yeah.
So what was the podcast about?
It was Relax, Let Go, Be With Charles, which was like a spirituality podcast. We mostly focused on like meditation and like podcast stuff about spirituality and stuff like that.
Does spirituality kind of enter into your work?
Yes, absolutely. Like my own spirituality and like my experiences like that kind of play into how I design my art and like what I design, like patterns and things.
Yeah.
I'm really like a symbolic person. Yeah. So, so everything kind of has a symbol.
You know, when I look at your art sometimes, I think it would be cool as stained glass.
Yeah.
You know, I think I could see that like a window. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I that one, the postcard that I gave you.
Yeah.
I actually am making blankets of that.
Oh, so, that would be
so
really cool.
For the gift season at Artisans, I'm going to be selling some comfy blankies with
that'll be really a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And have you thought about moving into any other kind of branching into any other sort of mediums or anything like that? Or are you just kind of comfortable with where you are? And
I mean, I'm pretty comfortable with where I'm at, but I like the idea of going back on air and like doing like podcasting or something like that.
Yeah.
Because that was something that I got used to and that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And
I think there is something to that. I think that I love to have like a couple, three things going on, you know, like doing writing, you know, writing poetry or writing short stories, and then working on a painting or something. And then also if I'm in a play, then I'm like totally over the top, you know, because then I've got like three really cool things, and it just makes you feel really alive.
I usually keep working on projects, like, and just bouncing around from project to project. Yeah. And I have like 10 projects going at once, and then I just switch between them all. And then that's how I've came across the t-shirt idea, because I was working on a project. I was like, this would look really good on a t-shirt. So it's like,
that's smart. Yeah. I've done t-shirts on Threadless, but you know, I haven't, in fact, I've got like that t-shirt is one of them on my Threadless site for you people who are listening, I'm pointing to an out and about t-shirt that's out on Threadless, but you know, people haven't been, it's weird. I think you have to just kind of stumble upon it, you know,
and
there's just so many really cool designs out there. Mine's just like one other, but when I go to like, fairs and places where people are selling t-shirts, the t-shirts seem to move pretty good there.
Yeah.
Like if there's like a physical thing that somebody can get now.
Yeah. Like, know? I feel like t-shirts are easier to sell because everybody likes a cool, fancy t-shirt, you know, instead of art that hangs on the wall and you don't know what to do with it, you know?
Right. Well, that's what always got me is like people, you know, you work for, you know, maybe 40 hours on a painting or something. And then, somebody says, oh, really, you want $250 for that? It's a good painting, you know? But I'm like, well, just pretend it's a tattoo. That'd be a deal, you know? I mean, then you could give this to somebody. Because you really, you know, I love tattoos, but I mean, like, unless, you know, you really pre-plan with, like a taxidermist, you can't really pass it on to your kids.
Right.
You know? I mean, you could, you know, tan it up and frame it, I suppose. But, yeah. Well, you know, we're going to break for, I have a house band called the Green Warriors, and we're going to play, the name of this song is Step Right Up. And while I'm doing that, while I play that, I'm going to load up my stuff to play my underwriter and all that stuff. So, everybody stay tuned. I'll be right back with Adam, and we're going to do a little deeper dive into art and things like that. So stay tuned, please. And here's some of the lovely Green Warriors.
Thank you. Out and About receives support from Eastern Washington University, the region's polytechnic, offering an increased emphasis on real-world, hands-on learning to build career-ready skills and a lifelong community. More information at ewu.edu.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for July 20th through the 23rd. Monday, Jerry Lee Raines at the Parlor, Jameson Sampson at Zola, Colony House, and Vika at the District, I Set My Friends on Fire at the Big Dipper, and the Mac Movement open mic with Half Dan at the Red Room. Monday and Tuesday, open jam at Jackson Street. Tuesday, Corey Aileen at the Global Food and Art Market in Garland, the All-Star Jam at Zola, and Shiny Ribs at the District. Wednesday, RCA, the Max Quartet, Hunter Koss, and many others at Kendall Yard's Night Market, the Dirty Champions and Aki Fumikado at Zola, Virginia Rails at Remedy, New Constellations at the District, open mic with Derek Hart at the Checkerboard, and the Downtown Get Down Jam at the Red Room. Thursday, the Larson Group at Emma Roo's, Gloria at Zola, Kenny James Miller at Chan's Red Dragon, and Danbert No Bacon, Better Days, and Nathan Chartrey at the Big Dipper. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
The Spokane Regional Health District reminds caregivers that life jackets float, kids don't. Information about water safety can be found online at srhd.org/prevent-drowning.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I invite you to join me on Americana Avenue each Wednesday evening for the greatest songwriters of progressive country and roots music. We will explore a featured artist and play a vinyl spin of the week. From vintage tracks to new releases, we will cover the back roads of the American soundtrack. That's Americana Avenue, 6 to 8 p.m. every Wednesday on Thin Air Community Radio.
On the road again. Okay, that's me, actually. That's not Willie singing. Hey, you're listening to Out and About. I'm Maeve. I'm talking to Adam Bodie. Adam is an artist who has an open house, a meet and greet at the Artisans Guild, or Artisans Guild at Northtown Mall this Saturday. So we're talking about that. And but one thing that I try to do every week is I try to remember to tell everybody what the protests are this week and things that they can be doing in the Spokane area. Now, two of the places where I've gleaned this information in the past are no longer sharing the information. So this may be a little bit outdated. I'm going to have Sammy Perry on from Spokane Indivisible next week, I think, and we're going to talk. I'm going to find out more because it was great being able to go to a site and find out what is going on in Spokane just about every day. So let me tell you what I have. On Mondays, it's Mikey Mondays at Division and Ruby at the V. That's the median in front of the Wendy's there, and that's to kind of draw attention to our Congressman Mike Goldbaum Gardner. And so you can do that on Mondays. That's from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. Get the ice out Wednesdays. That's every Wednesday, 1 to 3 p.m. at the corner of Washington and Cataldo. That's the ICE downtown field office. The Spokane Visibility Brigade, and you might have seen them over above I-90, and they have very large and very pretty funny signs, actually, that if you're driving on your car and you see a guy in a red MAGA hat clutch his chest and veer off into the ditch, that's probably why, because the signage that's above the freeway there. But if you would like to take part in the Spokane Visibility Brigade, you can go to any of the I-90 overpasses, those are the pedestrian overpasses, Sherman, Arthur, and Thor. And those are from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. Now, that's what I have. And this was like from a month ago when they quit putting stuff down. So I'm hoping that's still correct. But, you know, if you get there and nobody's at the overpass, well, you know, you could go on the overpass yourself, I suppose, or just go home. Just go home and watch TV. How do you think, Adam, I was going to ask you, what do you think, what does Spokane have going for it creatively? I mean, like, as a creative, what do you appreciate about Spokane? Oh, hang on. Sorry. I should turn your microphone on. Go ahead.
Well, I really like that, like, everybody likes to participate in, like, the art stuff in this community. Like, it's a really tight-knit art community.
Yeah.
And Spokane itself, like, focuses a lot on, like, promoting the arts and, like, getting more involved with art stuff. And I just really like that part.
Yeah.
Like, it gives you a place where you think you can be, like, accepted for your talent and, like, different things.
Yeah, and because there's so, and there's so, such a myriad of different ways that people make art in this town, too.
Right.
You know, I think. What kind of art, besides the sort that you make, do you enjoy?
Well, I do write. Mm-hmm. I do music. I'm kind of multifaceted.
Yeah.
So, like, I do a little bit of everything, but mostly I just stick to my paintings and digital art and stuff like that.
Yeah. Digital art seems to be where it's at these days. Right. Do you worry about the AI thing at all?
Honestly, my opinion on that is, like, kind of different, because I really enjoy making AI art.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just from scratch, usually. I don't use the AI or anything.
You don't use prompts and things Mm-mm. like that?
No, I just, like, think of something and use the tool to create it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it'll help you straighten out lines and things right. like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think I just got finished reading a book by Cory Doctorow called Reverse Minotaur, Reverse Centaur, I can't remember, but it's basically, his thing is that usually, you know, the way these tools work, like AI, it's great to be the person in the driver's seat, and you use right. the AI as a tool. But what's starting to happen is that they put AI in the driver's seat,
right.
and then human beings have to go and clean up all the messes that AI has done. And, you know, right. so you're kind of letting AI be the brains of the operation instead of you.
Right.
Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah, I think most people, I mean, if you use any kind of, I would imagine in any sort of digital format, there's going to be some element of AI in that, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you make art? Why
well,
do you do it?
Basically, it gives me an outlet to, like, put my emotions to one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I start a painting, it usually starts with, like, an emotion.
Yeah.
And then in order to process that emotion, I add color. And I use my color palette to express whatever I was feeling at that moment through, like, different colors and energies.
Do you find yourself drawn more to a different palette than another?
I like bright colors sometimes, but sometimes I like really dark colors. So, yeah. like, it just depends on what I experienced at that time.
Yeah. And so you kind of, like, start dabbling around and figuring it out, and that's really cool. So I guess for people, you know, who don't know what acrylic abstract would be, paint a picture for us right now over the radio. If somebody were to look at your work, what would they see?
Well, for example, like, I feel like my main key pieces have a lot of, like, heavy emotions in them. So mm-hmm. it's like, if I'm feeling dark or something, I'll use, like, black or blue or mm-hmm. red or something like that. And then on my more upbeat pieces, I'd use, like, pink or yellow or bright colors, you
okay.
know, like, and there are happy medium too. Like, I use orange and, like, a lot of different
sure.
colors.
Sure. And of course, people can see these. I mean, it'd be great if they went to the meet and greet. Tell people again the meet and greet so they know
what that's. Okay, so I'm going to be having the meet and greet 1 to 5 on Saturday. And there will be a raffle of 3 gift baskets and several products to buy. T-shirts, blankets, different things, postcards, stuff like that.
Okay, very cool. I had read a fig tree. Well, I was going to ask you this first. Do you look at the trans and autism thing as a curse, as a blessing, a mixture of both, or none of the above?
Kind of none of the above. It's just, okay. You know, it is who I am.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And I just accept it as what it is.
And you tell the truth about who you are. And,
right.
And so, and I think you think that that truth comes through in your art. I mean, like,
absolutely.
See, yeah.
Yeah. My art, specifically like certain paintings that I've made, reflect like traumas and things that I've been through, you know? So it's like, I put that out there so people can see like what that was like for me or whatever, you know? Yeah.
And I know I read a Fig Tree article and you were involved in the Jonah Project
for
a while. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Well, so I did a collaboration with the Jonah Project back in 2023.
And what is the Jonah Project?
The Jonah Project, they help people escape human trafficking. So with education and different things like that. And a relocation if necessary, stuff like that. So it's like, I had an article in the paper, Fig Tree, for my own experience of that. So,
and that was that here in Spokane where you experienced human trafficking?
Yes.
I mean, people think, I think a lot of people don't realize that this happens all over the place.
Yeah, it happens everywhere.
Yeah. So that's that was 2024 was when that article came out.
And because I did a meet and greet back at the other library, Shadle, and I partnered with Jonah Project and we did like advertising together and stuff. And then I had that article in the Fig Tree, which was just about like my story.
Yeah.
And like how I got involved with all those companies and
and well, I'm glad you made it out okay, and I think it's really cool that you're helping other people who
absolutely
who have gone through this. What is your work routine like as far as when you get up in the morning?
Yeah.
And then what do you do for art? I mean, how does it work?
Well, it kind of depends. Like, if I'm inspired to make something, I'll, you know, go start making it. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be a process of, like, if it's a painting, there will be 4 to 5 sessions of painting before it's finished.
Right.
And if it's digital art, I just go off an idea and then, like, create what was in my head, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of different for each thing, but definitely, like, it all comes from my creative process.
Are there digital programs that you especially like to use?
Canva, usually. Okay. But I don't, like, use their prompts or anything. I do it all myself, so it's like just having an idea, turning it into something.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. So you, how many years have you been at it, being an artist now?
Professionally, since 2018.
Okay, so that's 8 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty... That looks... So you started really young.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I started even younger than that, because I actually started painting, like, in 2014, 2015, and then I didn't actually get, like, known professionally as an artist until 2018.
Yeah.
Because I worked Celebrate Inclusion with the Arc of Spokane for one of their art shows.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's cool. My wife's on the board for the Ark.
Yeah.
You went to Havermail. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
You know, Havermail was in my district where I might have seen you in the halls. Cause we'd have to go do right. like, we'd have to check the fire alarms and do fire drills with the students and all that right. stuff. Yeah. So, yeah. That seemed like that was a pretty creative place.
Yeah. I mean, I liked Havermail better than like going to regular school.
Yeah.
Like, because I was at Shadel first and then I transferred to Havermail.
Yeah.
And so I liked it a lot better. It was a different environment for me, less stressful because, like, I had like my teacher and then like the students and that was it. And
yeah, you weren't like
wasn't like thrown into a room with like 10,000 people
and changing the channel every 50 yeah. minutes. And yeah, that would be that's stressful. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, let's see what else. What other questions do I have here? Let's see here. How do you relax and let go and be?
Well, I do a lot of meditation, actually. I use like YouTube meditations mm-hmm. and like binaural beats, stuff like that.
Oh,
like
yeah.
like uh-huh. through my healing journey and everything, like I've used a lot of meditation stuff off YouTube to like get to where I am now. Cause like before all the art and everything, like I was actually selectively mute and I couldn't talk. So, now I'm to the point where, you know, like it's become second nature for me to actually do what normal people do.
And
know?
That was pretty, you feel like meditation was a big part of the recovery of that.
Oh yeah, definitely. And learning what my voice is and like how to voice my opinion mm-hmm. around people, because I was so used to adopting other people's opinions.
Yeah.
So now I really have a voice for myself.
That's great. Before you transitioned? Or?
That was mid-transition, so like 2015.
Uh-huh.
I went silent for a whole 2 years. I couldn't talk.
Wow.
And now I'm at that point where like I'm doing radio.
Yeah, like, look at you. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's been a really interesting healing journey.
So you must have also done a lot of listening to other people's journeys as far as
yes.
meditation and things like that.
Yes, absolutely. And I actually, like with my apprenticeship with Charles's podcast, The Relax, Let Go Be, I actually learned a lot about all kinds of things, you know, and like production. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it was really good for me to have something like that, because like a welcoming environment where I can express myself, but like for a purpose.
Yes. Know? Yeah. You have a goal. There's, there's a prompt. There's all those things. Do you think you might gear up the podcast stuff again?
I honestly think that I do want to go back into podcasting or some sort of media thing, because that is a passion of mine that I discovered on that podcast. So mm-hmm. it's like it's a passion of mine just to like stick up for the little guy and have my voice to promote mm-hmm. like awareness and, you know, like stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, right next door, there's a podcast lab.
Right.
So you can like, you can rent that, or not even rent it. I mean, you know, sign up for it and you can do your recordings and stuff.
Right.
Is that where you guys did it over there?
Or was it? No, Charles had a studio at his house.
Oh, cool.
So, that was kind of cool. And then, yeah.
How are you doing as a trans person right now with all the stuff that's going on? How do you keep your sanity?
Honestly, like it's really hard to go through all this with like all the political stuff going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, but you know, you just got to fight every day and keep going, you know,
yeah,
and until people see your truth, and then hopefully they accept you.
Yeah, or not, you know. I mean, like, that's what I always feel like. Well, it's always, I just have to be a good human being, and what they decide to be is kind of their thing, you know. And it's like, well, and I'll tell you, for me, meditation has really been key to making it through the last couple years, I think. You know, it's been really
absolutely
very, very important to just kind of go to that place and be grounded and whole, you know.
It's absolutely
a really good thing. So, well, you got anything else you want to talk about? Or we
Well, I would like to shout out to my family.
Yeah, and give them a big shout out.
Yeah, so mom and dad and Brooklyn and anyone that's listening, I just want you to know I shouted you out.
and you did. How have they been really supportive of your work?
Oh, yeah. Like, my mom's always been really supportive, and, you know, my dad, he's supportive too, and, you know, like, I have a pretty good family.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Having that family is so important, you know.
Yeah.
Especially as a trans person, you know, to have people that'll still love you, you know, and it's hard enough already, you know,
and it doesn't need to be harder.
Yeah. If you don't have your family on board, that makes it really hard. So,
yeah.
Well, I don't have any more questions for you.
Okay.
You answered the question so efficiently.
Thank you.
But why don't we let people know one more time how they can go to the meet and greet, and also how they can check out your work, because I think that would be really important too.
Well, I'm always having different shows, so I mean, like, mainly the Artisans Guild at Northtown, you can buy my merch. I'll be there Saturday 1 to 5 for the meet and greet, and I'll be handing out cool swag and giving raffle tickets for the 3 baskets. So,
well, and also you have a website that's down, but you also have an Instagram and a Facebook account,
right? Yes, I do. Adam Bodhi Artworks. And
Bodhi's Bodhi. Yes. So yeah, artworks. Yeah, that's great. And you can see your stuff in there, and some wonderful pictures of you in there. I feel
Yeah.
There's one that you're looking very snazzy, like you're going to some big, like the Academy Awards or something.
Right.
What was that? Where was that at?
That was just like a picture that I made.
Did you?
I was like, well, it looks good. So I posted it up there.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a wonderful picture. All right. Do you have anything for me? Any questions for me before we go?
No, that's it.
Okay. All right. What I'm going to do then is I'm going to play a little music, and then, I mean, we always heard, you know, when you listen to the Green Warriors, you've reached the pinnacle. So we're going to work our way down now, and we're going to play a little Cat Stevens Peace Train, because I was listening to that today. I just really like that song. I get in these jags of songs that I can't get out of my head. And here we go. So let's listen to a little Peace Train, and then, you know, maybe there will be some questions. Maybe you'll think of something you want to say when we come back. All right. Here we go. Peace Train, Cat Stevens.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world as one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train, peace train, take together. Come bring your good friends too, cause it's getting nearer. It's a new deal with you. Come and join the living. It's not so far from you, and it's getting nearer. Soon it will all be true. Oh, peace train sounding louder. About the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live in bliss? Cause I'm on the edge of darkness. There rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country. Come take me home again. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Hiya, buskers. You see, you get a part in an off-Broadway show and you have to undress in the kitchen of a Chinese restaurant. And you go to a cocktail party for Vanessa Redgrave and you have a feeling the onion dip is bugged. And you just got bumped on the Robin Bird show. And you had your nose fixed and it looks bigger now. And you landed a gig in Queens. You're a roving target in a Mexican knife-throwing act. And Uncle Hank got a bad break on Star Search. He was in the finals and somebody stepped on his kazoo. Is that what's taking the thrill out of that extra bow, Trooper? Well, lift your head up high and check the toupee caps. You'll show that phony director with the ponytail and the torn boots. You'll show Kathy La Mama and Lincoln Center and all them other drafty dives. Remember, a bad dress rehearsal means a bad show. Hey there, Mummer. You say you're doing Macbeth in Central Park and get a wild squirrel up your kilt. And you joined a carpool in a Volvo with Pavarotti, Louis Anderson, Shelley Winters, and John Candy. And your show just closed after the run-through. And someone calls up, says he's Mike Nichols and wants to meet you for lunch at Wendy's. And you're so desperate, you bring your pictures anyway. And you just bought Stanislavski's third book, A Dubba Prepares. And Aunt Bertha, who played Falstaff in high school, finally got a job. She's a bouncer at Elizabeth Arden's. And you're checking your fly during a blackout and get it caught on a stagehand's watch fob. Does all this seem to be playing havoc with your projection? Stand by.
Well, shred those reviews and keep your salary under wraps. You say you bought a baseball bat and you're looking for John Simon. You'll show Masterpiece Theater. Don't call us, we'll call thee. There are no small parts, just tall actors. You show me a fiddler on the roof, and I'll show you a non-union musician.
Hey there, Romeo. You say you're late for an audition. Your agent gets there ahead of you and they hire him. And Uncle Reuben, the faith healer, lost his TV show. His truss broke in the middle of a commercial. And your understudy keeps coughing in your face. And you got a lead on the road. You're doing Yentl in Tripoli. And you married a lady gorilla for publicity and she won't give you a divorce. And Dr. Ruth says, great. And you're narrating a PBS special, Harmonica Favorites on Death Row. And you're up for a Tony for Iago and get edged out by a kid who plays an orange in a mime show on MacDougal Street. Does all this make you think there's no business like the hardware business, Hamlet?
Well, whip out the scrapbook and flaunt those medallions. Comedy, tragedy, St. Christopher, weren't they supposed to bring you luck? Strut up Schubert Alley and tear down those posters of hit shows. You know, I heard they were going to issue threefers. Remember, all the world's a stage. And there's still no work.
Hiya, buskers. You see, you get a part in an off-Broadway show and you have to undress in the kitchen of a Chinese restaurant. And you go to a cocktail party for Vanessa Redgrave and you have a feeling the onion dip is bugged. And you just got bumped on the Robin Bird show. And you had your nose fixed and it looks bigger now. And you landed a gig in Queens. You're a roving target in a Mexican knife-throwing act. And Uncle Hank got a bad break on Star Search. He was in the finals and somebody stepped on his kazoo. Is that what's taking the thrill out of that extra bow, Trooper?
Well, lift your head up high and check the toupee caps. You'll show that phony director with the ponytail and the torn boots. You'll show Cafe La Mama and Lincoln Center and all them other drafty dives. Remember, a bad dress rehearsal means a bad show.
Hey there, mummer. You say you're doing Macbeth in Central Park and get a wild squirrel up your kilt. And you joined a carpool in a Volvo with Pavarotti. Louis Anderson.
Oh, that may have just repeated. I don't know. That may have just repeated. That was the old philosopher. So thanks for joining me here on Out and About. And thanks to my guest, Adam Bode. And go make sure you go to his Facebook or his Instagram and check out his work. All right. Thanks, everybody. And I'll be talking with you next week. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane.
Executives climbing the corporate ladder to the top seem to lose IQ the higher up they get. That might explain why John Deere's top executive bosses have imposed an astonishingly stupid policy on America's farmers. For years, they've decreed that while a farmer technically owns a tractor or other John Deere product, the owner is prohibited from making any repairs when the machinery breaks down, stalls out, etc. Instead, the owners must call an authorized Deere dealer to fix what most farmers could handle by themselves. The monopolistic profiteer refuses to make its repair manuals available to customers or local repair shops. So, gotcha. But in 2020, Walter Schweitzer rallied with other mad-as-hell farmers and ranchers to rebel. The Montana rancher's tractor had gone kaput in hay baling season. But no, said a Deere dealer, a technician is not available. And no, you can't have access to the diagnostic computer to do it yourself. So he had to wait weeks before Deere finally got his tractor running, a fairly basic job worth about $600, but they bill Walter $4,000. That's what's called a monopoly fix. But they messed with the wrong farmer. Schweitzer, president of the Montana Farmers Union, mobilized grassroots pressure from five states, forcing federal officials to sue John Deere. This month, Deere's aloof executives settled that suit, finally letting its farm customers take charge of the equipment that, hello, they own. This is Jim Hightower saying, Schweitzer points out that this landmark win over the arrogance of Deere executives is just one stepping stone to a right-to-repair law for all products. To help push this right forward, go to repair.org, repair.org. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
You are listening to KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM, your thin air community radio.
KYRS, Medical Lake, and K222BG, Dartford, 88.1 FM, 92.3 FM, thin air community radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
This summer, help protect your community and public lands by preventing human-caused wildfires. Be aware of fire restrictions, ensure trailer chains are not dragging on the road, and instead of having a traditional campfire, consider propane alternatives. One spark is all it takes. This wildfire prevention message is brought to you by the Northwest Wildfire Prevention Team and KYRS Thin Air Community Radio.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The ICC and its friends are waging a war against our country. Not with bullets or missiles, but with statutes, compacts, and the force of so-called international law.
The Trump administration's announced new plans for the United States to systematically disable the International Criminal Court brick by brick. We'll speak with longtime war crimes prosecutor Reed Brody about the new attack, as well as the possibility of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu being arrested in New York for alleged war crimes in Gaza if he comes to the United Nations. New York Mayor Mamdani says he's weighing his options. Then we look at the World Cup with former soccer player Jules Boycott, author of Red Card, the 2026 World Cup, Sports Washing, and the FIFA Greed Machine. Finally, a movement's growing targeting Flock, the automatic license plate reader company. Critics accuse Flock of building a nationwide mass surveillance system.
They can create a record of every place you've traveled for as long as they keep the data. And this can include really sensitive places like political meetings you've gone to, doctor's offices, religious institutions, even where you sleep at night.
All that and more.
Sleep at night.
All that and more.